Hello, everybody, and thanks for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and I want to welcome you to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast. Last month, we talked about the power of in-person events in part one of my conversation with Hillary and Jason DeMayo, the husband and wife team behind the design thinking firm We Are Curio. We introduced some key themes that will return in today's conclusion to that interview. So if you haven't listened to last month's episode yet, I would encourage you to pause, go check that one out first, and then come back. Today, in part two, we'll discuss a hallmark of their work, the artifact. We dig into the intangible quality of tangible objects, some practical and compelling ideas for a direct mailer, and why you might need a hobby. Thanks again for joining us, and here's part two of my interview with Hillary and Jason DeMayo. Now, Hillary and Jason, a hallmark of your approach to your work is the concept of the artifact. And I'm probably going to oversimplify it here, but I define it as a tangible object or a creation meant to mark or represent an event or the idea the event is organized around. How would you guys define it? And how did you come to make the creation of artifacts such an important part of your process?
Yeah, it's such a great question. Yeah, I would say that for me, I think of artifacts typically as the end process of your creativity is the way that I like, especially define it in my my practice as an artist, that there's this thing that you poured all of your ideas, similar to what you said, Dan, but you've poured all of your ideas, the meaning, the color, space, all of these things into something that is tangible, visible somehow, and it kind of becomes this embodiment of what you either want to happen or what you want people to experience. And I think they have powerful effects on people. I mean, even just like there's artifacts all throughout scripture, you know, monuments and things that people would build to remember things. And I think that maybe as I'm even just speaking, the importance of artifacts is remembering. So they help you remember what you're doing, what you're here for. So yeah, so I would say two things. It's the end process of your creativity, kind of the culmination. And then also they're there to help remind you of what you're doing and why you're doing it. So I would say we say digital artifacts and physical artifacts. I personally gravitate towards physical artifacts, but I think there is a website is a digital artifact. It's the end process of creativity that is here to represent an idea, to help you remember certain things, your logo, your brand, all of those things to me are artifacts and really, again, help tell the story of what you're doing.
That's so interesting. Recently in a sermon, we talked about when Joshua had the people reaffirm the covenant after coming into the promised land. And it says that they set up this standing stone at Shechem. And if you Google standing stone at Shechem, there is the base of a very large stone in Shechem. And some biblical archaeologists will tell you this is what is left of that stone. Other people say it's other things. But, you know, whether it is or not, the idea to me that this thing that was set up as the people is still there. You know, not saying that my church is going to do anything as significant as reaffirming the covenant with the nation of Israel after going into the promised land, but being able to set up something like that, there's just a power there. And of course, like we all love the ease and efficiency of digital. Like I love that I can bring my phone or my tablet and I have my whole Kindle library with me. And so whatever I'm feeling on a plane ride or which I haven't done in over a year, but you know, whatever it is, like as I'm waiting around, I could read almost any book I want, but yet there's also some books that like, I'm going to read the physical copy. Like there's just something about holding the physical copy of certain books. What to you are some of the intangibles? I mean, you've talked about this a little bit, but just, are there any more intangibles to a tangible object that you think are uniquely powerful?
Yeah. Definitely. So I'm going to tell just like, I'll try to keep it super brief. I just want to give two examples of maybe how this power works.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I understand it totally, but I do think there is something there. One is I used to be a picker. I used to go and just find artifacts and sell them on Etsy. And I still kind of do that a little bit and love it, but it's not like a main thing that I do.
Right.
But I found an artifact. It said DeMayo Patacha. My last name's DeMayo, which means like DeMayo restaurant.
Mine is too.
Well, yeah. And so it's been hanging in my house. It's actually an old menu from an Italian place.
Yeah.
So it's been in my house for probably 7 years. I look at it probably every single day. I walk past it going into my bedroom And I don't really, you know, spend much time seeing it, but I've looked over it multiple times. We go to Italy and we're on our third day there. We're in Rome and we just get on our bikes and just go somewhere. We were lost in Italy, really. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. Yeah. We're going down side streets. We have literally no idea where mm-hmm. we are. And so Hillary goes ahead of me. She goes down kind of like this sketchy road. And I'm like, all right, well, great. We'll follow you. We end at the end of the road. And we literally, what is waiting at the end of the road is a framed version of what I have at my house, which is framed too. Gosh. The DeMeo Patacha menu is the only one in the world. No, it is. It's the only one in the world. And that is it. And so I didn't look up the address or any of these things before we went to Italy. And so this is just one example. You can read into whatever it is. The spirit wove it. My subconscious mind had been looking at this address. Hillary's subconscious had been, and somehow we've been led there.
We stumbled upon the restaurant and it was just like, oh my gosh, we cannot believe that this is the same restaurant that the menu, not even in was outside of our bedroom for years. Yeah.
That's just one kind of blow your mind idea. Maybe you've had these things happen in your life. We have these things happen, I think, more often now. So I could tell a lot of them. Another one was, I have a Shepherd Fairey poster in my house that says "Make Art, Not War," and I was not really 3 years ago an artist. Mm-hmm. Like I appreciated art, but I wasn't actively painting. Well, I put that painting or that that poster up at the end of my hallway, and every time I walked down the hallway, at the end of it, my eyes saw "Make Art, Not War." Make Art, Not War, and this is for a year. And I didn't do it as okay, I'm going to become an artist. But I think just me seeing it over and over and over again, I got into the studio where that was and started making art, not war. And I just think that I haven't totally figured it out yet, but there's this reminding and then there's this subconscious pull that artifacts have on you that you I don't even know that I can describe. So those are just a couple examples. And then the third thing that I had is just in my mind was that in a way, Jesus was an artifact. God, it wasn't good enough for God to just be this intangible, you know, I don't know where God is, where God ends, you know, whatever. But it's this is a tangible artifact. This is me. This is in the flesh form that you can learn from, you can see. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just think that there is something really powerful about artifacts that begin to set your subconscious into motion.
Totally.
And I think if we only approach church, speaking, all of this stuff from a linear fashion, you can teach people linear information, but you're not trying to inform people, you're trying to form people. And so I think that you want to not only give them facts and things and information, you also want to give them their subconscious food and energy to grow into what God would want them to grow into. So using artifacts to do that, I think, is a piece that sometimes maybe people neglect.
Man, that's so good. The thinking of an artifact, you know, as an incarnation, you know, there is the incarnation, which is the ultimate artifact, but that all of these things become an incarnation of our church. And that leads me amazingly to this next question. This is just flowing so great. Our editor's going to be thrilled. But when we bring this back directly to church marketing, hey, Josh, how you doing, buddy? One of our topics of conversation in our last episode was direct mail. You know, of course, Facebook ads, we've talked about those a ton. Advertising in digital spaces, it's cost effective. You can target. But the truth is there's so much competition. And with ad blockers and really, I mean, I'm sure you guys are the same way. I can recognize an ad on social media and I know how to scroll past it without engaging with it. I've just begun to wonder if a physical mailer could provide even just a bit of that artifact experience that you've been talking about. And of course, there's, the old school things like the church coffee mug or other kinds of swag that you can put your church logo on. But of course, when you think of it as an incarnational artifact, it kind of raises the level of it's not just a church coffee mug. It's everything that comes with what we do in and around our cups of coffee. The challenge, of course, is again, a physical mailer is more expensive than a digital ad. Kind of, again, balancing the pros and cons cons of all these things. Is there any advice you would give or a set of questions you would encourage people to think about if they're weighing creating some kind of mailer or physical object to serve as a marketing artifact?
I was thinking about this prior to our call. I think that what you're trying to transfer in a marketing piece from your church is your church's energy or your church's unique DNA to the personality to the people of your community. And so when having this conversation or brainstorming around what it is that you want to mail or give away, I really pose that question of what makes our church unique. So instead of just putting your logo on a mug, it's like, is there a phrase that your church says a lot? Is there like, is there something like funny that like, you know, a lady in the church always says when she greets people at the front door, and that's like what somebody is going to hear when they come to your church for the first time and they come back? Or could you write like even handwritten cards in like a couple small groups, like actually
from the lead pastor?
Sure.
Saying it doesn't have to be.
Yes.
I'm just saying if you're thinking like outside of the box and you're like, wow, the lead pastor of the church wrote me a letter.
Yeah.
Like that would be interesting. Absolutely. That would be a purple cow in Seth Godin's.
Yes. Yeah. And so what is it? Because I think what we need to start asking ourselves is what is the point of this piece of marketing?
What's the point? That's
and if
great.
People actually responded, what would you do with them? Like, are you prepared if they show up? Like, what is your welcome, gift like when they come? Or what is your welcome experience? What happens if they do show up? And if you do have a new family come to your church? So the question is, sure, market, but why are you trying to market? And what are you going to do if the Spirit brings these people into your spaces? And are you prepared to steward their time and their spiritual curiosity? And so we have to be prepared because you might only get one shot with somebody's spiritual curiosity. And if they come, have you made a place at the table for them? And are you prepared with something that says, hey, first time guest, we really are ready and we're uniquely excited about you and your family or, you know, you being here. And this is how we're ready. And I think once we've prepared those spaces, then we partner with the Spirit in actually getting people into our spaces. Because I really think it's a stewardship thing, but it's really thinking uniquely about what it is that you could send out or physically give that's going to stand out. But if it comes from the identity of your church, then that's what actually catches people's eye when they get it.
I was going to add too, like how does it, you know, transfer the energy and identity of your church? And then also how does it actually bring value to that person?
Yeah.
Like, What value are you bringing? If it's just, you know, your marketing, it's like, okay, this is informational value. I know what this church is like better. And if I want to go to church, maybe I'll check that out.
Right.
But like, I would challenge you to think like, okay, what can we do that this artifact would bring value to their life? So if there's a card that you're sending, you're like, maybe like there's three check-in questions and you give like a spiritual practice that they can do. Hey, we've all been hit by this pandemic. Here's how to do a 15-minute, you know, meditation that will help you, you know, calm down, breathe, be more connected, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or like if you're saying like a cup or something, Hillary said like a phrase or something, but like maybe there's some meaning to the cup where it's like this cup represents 5 minutes that you're going to take a break or what. I don't know, but it's just like trying to take those artifacts, and artifacts I think have to have meaning supplied to them, or they're just like, I don't even know that I would call it an artifact.
Yeah.
I would call it something else.
Just material.
Just a material.
Yeah.
It becomes an artifact, I think, when you have imbued it with meaning and artifact, it becomes a work of art in a way. So,
That's so interesting because I think a lot of us are creating that kind of content online. You know, like we're internalizing this idea that church marketing on Facebook can't just be show up here at this time, but we're doing things like, hey, are you experiencing anxiety? Here's three questions you could ask. But like, what if that showed up in your mailbox and it was on a postcard that was tastefully designed and printed on paper that felt good? Or like, here's five questions to ask at your dinner table tonight. You know, like, you guys are like my hamster's running really fast right now.
Yeah.
And like, what if you also like partnered with like a local coffee, And then you also gave it was like a free cup of coffee on our church. And then think about these questions when you're there. And and if you're ready to come to a spiritual experience, we're here for you.
Win for the coffee shop. It's like, because they're getting free marketing. Right. People are coming in, coffee costs nothing to them.
Yeah. And it's like a power of, like you're saying, this postcard, it catches people's eyes. And you also are the spirit of generosity. So it's like a free cup of coffee, even if you don't necessarily care if they come, because you care about being a neighbor and people like being less stressed in your community. And so it's like, wow, this church is generous before I ever even walk in their door. Mm. Like there's something unique about them. Maybe I'll come. So
church is always asking me for money.
Wow. They're giving me a free cup of coffee. And so, and I bet you there's a study on how likely that they'll actually use it might be low. So you're actually not spending a ton of money. You're doing drip at cost with the local coffee shop. It's like, I think we just have to be creative with these opportunities of what is it that you really want? Like, where do you want human flourishing to happen? And how do you want to start that formation with somebody even before they ever come in your doors?
That's great. And let me just say, like, finding that partnership with a local coffee place is amazing. And I just want to share one small pet peeve of mine is when churches send out a card that's like, join us on Sunday, we'll give you a free cup of coffee when the coffee's already free. Like, I get that you had to pay for it to brew it, but people see through that as soon as they walk in, you know, like,
just a little pet peeve of mine. I just wrote down like honest.
Yes.
Like I mean, you said it earlier too, but it's like, people, I think, are over the age of like marketing BS, and it's like the church is a bad perpetrator of it sometimes. Yeah. And I think the more honest you can be with people, I think that you're going to have a better experience. So anyway, just be honest, be intentional. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to close by asking you, Jason, a bit about your art. We mentioned in the intro that you are a painter. You talked about just kind of stumbling into it a few years ago. Most of your projects that I'm familiar with are quite large, and they are definitely abstract, but at least for me, they're more accessible than some of the abstract art I've seen. As I followed your work, it's really been interesting to watch you evolve. Like, you started pretty much like straight painting. You moved to some pouring techniques. If anyone is a fan of music, you did some artwork for the band Sleeping at Last. And some of your recent stuff, you've really incorporated mixed media and textures. One of my favorite ones had this inset in the middle of the canvas that was red and it had gold leaf around it. So there was depth even just in this sort of like what seemingly is a 2D painting. You told us a bit about how you got into it, and it sounds like it is a natural expression of your love for the tangible. But maybe tell us how that has fed creativity in the other parts of your life so that it might encourage some of our listeners to pick up a hobby or something that they can do that feeds into both work and personal sort of health and mental health.
Yes, that's such a great idea. I'm a hobbyist. If I didn't have to make any money, I would just do all hobbies. Mm-hmm. I'd be into tennis. I'd do painting. I just love starting new hobbies. I want to do piano, or I want to do this. There's always something that's starting in my life. But painting has really, I mean, the way that it started, I started this thing with like pretty much just like my friends was like, hey, let's make a 10 goal. It's just at the beginning of the year. What are your 10 goals for the year? And one of mine, this is like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, was to make 10 paintings. I had consumed a lot of art my whole life. I've gone to galleries, you know, I've read a lot about art. And I kept saying to myself, oh yeah, abstract art, like I could do that. And everyone does this to something at some point in life. You're like, I could probably do that. And the answer is you probably could. but you're not doing it. You're like, I could be a decent piano player, but I'm not taking lessons. Like, so I felt that like sense of I guess it's conviction a little bit, where it was like I was just taking in so much content, consuming so much art content that I was like, I just need to like create. If I'm gonna consume this much content of something, I need to do some sort of output with it. So I did 10 painting goal, and then I just kind of like went for it. And I was like, I'm going to make my own canvases. I'm going to stretch my own canvas. I'm going to do the whole thing. And really just became this experiment. I was going through a lot those last, you know, those 4 years ago. I mean, we're always going through something. But like I was just like processing a lot of loss and lament and things that I was kind of going for were helping me like, the painting was helping me process those things. I'm an introvert. So it had a profound effect on my mental health. I didn't start it to become like a painter or someone who sells in galleries and things like that. But the momentum just picked up, and I did my first friends and family show that year. And like, just, I mean, it was just special. Like, there's so many people affirming, like, this is a part of your identity. Like, this is something you should do. So started taking it more seriously. And now I'm in a couple galleries, one in Houston, one in LA. But really, I mean, sure, like, I want to make money with it, and that's like great. But it really, I want to keep it kind of as a sacred practice that I'm kind of alone, you know, with the spirit, with my own thoughts, and sharing the things that are on my heart, and then letting other people interact with those. So for me, it really is a spiritual practice. It's helped me just become a better, more whole person. So I would encourage whoever's listening, it doesn't have to be painting, but some sort of artistic endeavor, I think, is really powerful for people. Yeah, physical, I think, is really good.
Well, Hillary and Jason, personally, it's been great to catch up with you. And then also as the host of the show, thank you for all that you've given to our listener base today, all of our co-laborers in the work of the gospel. And kind of lastly, how could folks look you up and connect if they'd like to see your work, the work of We Are Curio, or the art? What are the best places to find and connect with you all?
Yeah, I mean, easiest, we're pretty attentive to Instagram. So at We Are Curio is the that side. At the DeMeos is our personal side, which we share stuff there. And then at JSpace, JASPACE.art is my painting side. So that's, and then another one, we are like 12 Instagrams right now, is at IRocksLiving. What we're doing there is really this human-centered stay. We're creating an experience in Asheville, and it's going to be pretty amazing. It's almost finished. So we're trying to really, in a way, to kind of bring this all full circle. IRocks is an environment that will be filled with artifacts that embody our human-centered design. So come stay at IRocks and you'll get a great taste of all the things that we just talked about.
Awesome. And that is IROX, correct?
It's actually at IRocks Living is the Instagram.
Or awesome. Email.
Or yeah.
Well, Hillary and Jason, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Totally. Thank you, Dan. Yes, great talking to you.
And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. Are there any artifacts that you might be able to put in the hands of your community that helps build a connection and tell your church's story? Perhaps something a bit more personal than the trusty church logo coffee mug? Email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your thoughts or stories on a future episode. And you can, of course, use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions for the show. We always love hearing from you. As always, the easiest way to support the show and help other church communicators like yourself find it is by sharing this episode with your friends and colleagues and by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever service you're listening to right now. And did you know that United Methodist Communications is celebrating 80 years of ministry? Your support ensures that the latest denominational news, dynamic stories, and informative articles will continue to connect our global community. Make a tax-deductible donation today at resourceumc.org/giveumcom. That's GIVEUMCOM. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.